I realized last week I did a very poor job of talking efficiently through our Q&A. So you guys left a ton of questions that are still left unanswered. So I'm going to try to do something new to help me be efficient and get through the questions that you guys have and do like a fast Q&A before the lessons each week. So we'll see how this goes. So if you don't have a note sheet, raise your hand. Cameron and Kiki are handing those out and pens because we will be taking notes today. So our first question before we get into the lesson on Ask Pastor Jake is how do I join band? So thank you for asking. That's a great question. And all you have to do is ask Chris Drent, Mr. Drent, who led us in worship today. You just have to ask him and he will work you in, even if you know that you're not yet ready to play in front of people, but it's something that you want to learn, something that you want to serve the church through music. You can come, you can practice. They have a little devotional. He'll care for your heart, but Chris is the answer. If you want to join band, the answer is please talk to Chris. So that might have been the fastest Q&A question I've ever done. So now, this was a really, really good question. The question was, whenever you feel like God doesn't care about you, what are good passages to go to for reassurance? What I love about the question is that you see here, it's when I feel like God doesn't care. So you address what you feel with what you know is real. If it's in God's word, you know it's true. So how do you, hopefully when you ask this question, you're asking it saying, I feel like God doesn't care about me, but I know that's not true. Can you give me truth to preach to my own heart? Can you give me truth that the Holy Spirit would love to use to help me know the truth of how God feels towards me? So some really good passages. We won't get to go to all of them, but if you ask this question or if you ever struggle with this, you might want to write these down. Psalm 34, verse 18. I'll read it. Says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And the thing is, when you're brokenhearted, a lot of times you feel like the Lord is very far away. But the Bible assures you he is near, especially if you cry out to him. Romans 8:38 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor anything else, no matter what's going on in my life, will be able to separate us Christians from the love of God in Jesus Christ. You know what? When you feel like God doesn't care, it's actually for a Christian what the Bible calls a testing of your faith. Saying, do you believe what God says or do you believe what you feel? And so in 1 Peter 5, this is one of my favorite verses. I've actually felt what this question is asking before. So if you've ever been in our living room, you'll see this verse painted on a blackboard above the fireplace. It's because I need to preach this to myself. It says, casting all your anxieties on him. So I'm anxious. I feel like God doesn't care. What do I do? I cast my anxieties on him, and then he gives a reason. Does anybody know what that reason is? Because, Andrew, because he cares for you. You look at that every day. Because he cares for you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my right hand. Hebrews 13:5 promises, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then the one that you must know is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. So if you ever feel like I'm too insignificant or I've sinned too much, Or I feel like God doesn't care for me. Where should you look? Look to the cross. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus just died for the whole world, like this whole group of miscellaneous people. But for you, if you would turn to Jesus, it actually says, Paul says, Jesus loved me. Not us, not all of us, but you can rightly say Jesus loved me and gave himself for me, even while I was his enemy, even while there was nothing attractive in me, even while I was dead in my sins. He loved me and gave himself for me. So when doubts come, run to Scripture, not just your feelings. Preach truth to yourself. Say, God's near, God cares, God hasn't left me. And then turn to him in faith. Pray these verses back to him. This isn't a promise of easy life. It doesn't mean no suffering, but it means that God is with you in suffering. God's presence, God's care for you has nothing to do with your feelings. You actually likely will need to preach that truth, tell your feelings that truth. And what's wonderful is God's love and care for you is not conditional on your performance. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I feel like I'm obeying really well. I'm doing really well. And it just feels really natural to pray. Oh, God's listening to me. But what's going on is subtly inside my heart. I feel good about praying because I think God's pretty impressed with me. You must never think that way. God is not more near to you when you're doing well, as if, oh, I approve of you. So now I accept you. And then when I sin, I need to work my way back into his good graces. No, your acceptance to God and God drawing near to you. And then ultimately, remember what Smedley said, preached the last few weeks in Revelation? When it's God is with man and we are with God forever? Why is that? Is it because we obeyed him well enough? Or even because we believed him hard enough? No, it's because Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. So if you feel like asking this question, this is the perfect time to preach the gospel to yourself or to go to somebody who you know knows the gospel. That's just the good news, that Jesus loves you. And don't say, okay, Jesus loves me so I can keep doing all the things I want to do. I can live for myself. No, God cares for me. He died for me so that I would no longer live for myself, so I'd no longer be a slave of sin, but I could live for him. So a lot of these promises are to Christians. So don't say, okay, I wonder if I'm a Christian. Do what a Christian would do. And say, when I wonder if God would cares for me, I wonder if God loves me, believe that he does and turn to him in repentance and faith. The cross proved once and for all that he did. Just remember, feelings make a really poor compass, feelings don't rightly tell you what's going on in the world, what's real. God's word does. So, I am so grateful for you asking questions. I'm going to try to do a better job of getting those up here and do them sort of rapid fire like this. So please do keep dropping questions in the bucket. And that leads very well into our lesson for today. We are going through an outline, whether you know it or not. This year, we're going to be following the outline of this book, Fundamentals of the Faith. So this is actually chapter 2. How do you know the Bible? We're going to say some things that aren't in this book. We're going to say some things that are in this book. But if you have time, if your parents would want to do this, or if you could talk your parents into doing this, say, Mom, Dad, can we get this book and go through it during the week? There are some exercises in here. It's fill in the blank kind of book. I know it looks like school, it's better. But there's some stuff that will actually help you do some of the stuff that we won't get to talk about, particularly how do you study the Bible. Very helpful resource to understand some of what that, how you do that. So I would encourage you, we will not go through everything here, but try to see if your parents will get you this book and actually spend, you could do probably 5 minutes a night and get through it by the next week. We're going to actually, next week, we won't be in chapter 3 yet. So you have a couple weeks to do this one. So it's at our book table. You can buy it on Amazon. It's called Fundamentals of the Faith. So how to know the Bible. We talked last time about what the Bible is. Now, how do we know it? And so the first thing that you must do to know the Bible is to read it. You have to get it into you. You have to read it with faith. And so who was here last year? And where we did Lubot, where we learned about Lubot. Who here has no idea what Lubot means? Good. There are a few. So Lubot is an acronym. I don't know if you know what acronym means. It's where you take the first, you have a list of words and you have the first letter of each word spells something. So Lubot, we made it like a little robot, but it's a reminder of what we should pray every time that we expose our hearts and our minds to God's word. So the first L in Lubot is what? Listen. So you pray, God, make me listen. Sometimes I need help. I actually usually need help listening. My mind wanders. I'm sitting there and I say, I know I should really be paying attention to this. This is God's word. And I'm thinking about the silliest things. Like, I'm not kidding. In church, like, I do math. I'm like, how many? This is dumb. But if this is, I need to pray, God help me. Because I'm like calculating how many squares there are in the auditorium while Smedley's preaching the truth of God's word. And my mind is like thinking of the dumbest things. I don't know if you're like that. I imagine I'm not the only one who like gets distracted with just dumb things. So I'm like, no, God, help me listen. Help me listen. And I have the same problem when I read the Bible in the morning. I have the same problem any time when God's word is preached.
I never used to count the bricks on that wall.
How many are there? Do you ever do the thing like where you imagine a ball going between the things and bouncing off corners? I do. I sit there. I get so distracted. Like, I'll like say the angle. How would I shoot? I don't know. I totally empathize. You're probably right, 250. So I say that, come in, not to distract you, because there are 1,000 things in this room that you could get distracted by. And there's probably 1,000 more in your heart as you think about the day that you can get distracted by. And so it's right just to say, God, will you help me pay attention right now? Will you help me listen to your word? And so, it's not just listening, though, and it's not just understanding the words coming out of my mouth or the words on the page. Martin Luther once said, an unregenerate man can understand the grammar of John 3:16. John 3:16, who knows what John 3:16 says and can say it for me? God loved the world. Yep. And so that anyone who believes in him has eternal life. So many of you guys have that memorized. So many of those in the world can say, I understand every word that you just said. But you have to have a miracle happen in your heart to believe it. Right? In one sense, demons believe that. They know that's true, right? Demons, oh, sorry, I got ahead of myself. The L is listen. The U is understand. Demons understand that. A lot of people in the world understand John 3:16. But you actually have to be born again. You have to have a new heart, and you have to have the Holy Spirit do a miraculous work inside of you that you would believe it. Whoever believes, what happens to them? They don't perish and they have eternal life. Do they not perish and have eternal life because they did the work of believing? No. Evidence that your name is written in the book of life is that you believe. So if you're saying, I don't know if I'm a Christian, I want to be a Christian, I don't want to perish, I want to have eternal life, say, God, will you make me believe your word? God, when you give me a command, will you make me obey it? And God, when you give me a promise, will you make me trust it? You're asking God to do a miracle when you open the Bible. But you know what? Even the regenerate can't, meaning that means you've been made new, you've been born again. Even the regenerate can't understand, believe, obey, and trust John 3:16 until they've read it, until they hear it. You have to put God's word in front of yourself. So the L, when you say, God, help me listen, we're going to actually come up with a new acronym. We have HRSMM. So I don't know how we're going to remember that. Lubot's easy to remember because it's a robot. It's cool. It's a cute. Ellie made this little thing. I thought it was really cute. It's the Lubot. So you can remember that, and it's really helpful for you to pray that. I don't know how we're going to come up with HRSMM. Like my sweet aunt, let's have some ideas on like what is an acronym, or not an acronym, but like a sentence to help us remember. I'm going to fill that out. Does anybody have any ideas? We're going to get there. It's hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. But like, what's an acronym that we can use to memorize it? Like, hey, Randy, what do you guys, I don't know. What's like a good phrase that we can come up with for this? Mary, what do you got? Happy robots still, okay. I like happy robots. Happy robots. Study, memorize, and meditate. That's good. What do you? I like Dodds. Dodds are coming up with stuff. What do you got? Yes. Yeah. Horsem? Horse mom. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. Anybody else have any ideas? Because none of these are really that memorable. Happy robots, I like. Happy robots study math monthly. That's what we're going to do. All right. So it's all right. You know, you can come up with your own. Come up. That was a bad idea. You're not a happy robot. All right. Yes, we got a Yates who has an idea. Happy robots sing melodies now. Kiki. All right. Happy robots study, memorize, and meditate. I like it. That's what we're going to do. That's what it is. You can come up with something else. But you know what? The main thing I want you to know. All right, back in. That was fun. I'm on a roll today. This is weird. So this is all the things that you actually need to get your mind in front of. God's word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot get God's word into your heart. You can't understand it. You can't believe it. You can't obey it, and you can't trust it unless you hear it. Blessed are those, Jesus said. Some people were saying, oh, blessed's your mom. And Jesus looked at them and said, no. Blessed are those who hear my word and keep it. You have to actually hear God's word. So you might think, okay, unless I can sit down and get my notebook out and really study, it doesn't count. No. Get yourself in a position to hear God's word. What are some ways that you can hear God's word? What are some, Ellie? There's actually a McShane's Bible reading podcast by Crossway that actually does, if you're on the student ministry Bible reading plan, it'll read it to you every day, right on your phone. Hearing a sermon. Faithful exposition of God's word is, we're going to read it and then have it be explained to you. That's great. What else? In the body of ministry, we actually can hear God's word when somebody else can say it to you. We sing God's word often, right? As we are singing, we're saying God's word or explanations of God's word when we sing. You guys ever, who here reads the Bible together as a family out loud? I do. We do. If you guys don't, you could actually start that in your family. Say, I'm going, mom and dad, let's read, or siblings, or whoever you live with. Can we read God's word together? Can we hear it? Just, I need God's word to be going in my ears. Because think back to the question we had. If you feel a certain way, you need to have heard lots of God's word. You have all of the world inundating you throughout the day with things that aren't ultimate. Worldviews coming in, you hear the news, your favorite podcast, your friends are telling you silly things, your heart's telling you lies. You need truth to come in your ears. So you need to expose yourself to God's word. What else do? We hear it. Have it come in your ears a lot. We do that at church. Give yourself, we read God's word every morning. You need to read God's word. Just read it. Big chunks of it. Just open up God's word and you're going to understand some of it. You won't understand some of it, but read it. But what's the goal here? Whether you're hearing God's word or you're reading God's word, the goal isn't to magically just, okay, if God's word is going in my eyes or going in my ears, mission accomplished. Right? No, we want to actually read God's word and do it. We want to hear God's word and do it. And you can't do that unless you understand. So have you guys ever read, like, again, I get distracted. Who here has ever like read a whole page of something? And you know you were reading every word, maybe out loud or in your head. And you got to the end of it and you were thinking about something completely different. Like you were like, that was a waste of an entire page. How did that happen? Yeah, that happens to me all the time. So for me, one of the ways that it really helps me is to ask questions as I read. Ask questions while I read. And you know what? That's the heartbeat of studying. Studying it. You say, I'm going to hear God's word all the time. So be engaged. What's it saying? What's next? Just like you're engaged if you're listening to a story you really care about. Ask God to help you listen. Ask God to help you read. And then study. And the heartbeat of study is just look really closely. Every word matters. Every phrase matters. And you're asking, why is he talking about this now? I wonder what happens next. What does this mean? Is this command for me? What's the tense of this verb? You can ask all kinds of things. Some things might be a good question to ask. Some things might be a bad question to ask. But the more that you study, the more questions you ask, the more you'll start to see what's there. And your mind will be filled with God's word. And your heart then will be filled with God's word if he does that miracle in you. And so you're hearing God's word. You're reading it. You're studying it. Studying usually needs a pen or a pencil. When you read the Bible in the morning, I would so encourage you, get a pen, get a pencil, and get a piece of paper. And look at things. Circle. If you guys don't like circling things in your own Bible, I don't know if you do. Sometimes I hate circling things, even in my digital Bible, because it means it's there forever. And I'm like, what if this was a dumb thing to circle and it doesn't have anything to do with anything? So what I'll do, I was actually teaching Isaiah this last week. I will print what I'm going to be studying. Just go online. You can download it, print it, double spaced or triple spaced, and read it with like your highlights. A lot of you guys are doodling here. You have colored pencils and you're really good at them. Apply that to your double printed paper. Say, I'm going to underline every noun in green. I'm going to underline every verb in orange. But do you know what's happening when you do that? Maybe you don't know what a noun and a verb are. Say, I'm going to underline every command. I'm going to look for every time it says something about God, and I'm going to circle it. I'm going to doodle a picture of what this is, of the story. If you're reading a big story, draw a picture telling the story. But the thing is, you're getting your mind engaged. You're circling things. You're making connections. Okay, he talked about this 5 different times in 2 sentences. It's probably important. Use pen. Use pencil. Use your mind. Ask questions. Again, this book, Fundamentals of the Faith, very helpful on giving you some starter clues on how to study. So we're exposing ourselves to God's word. Another way is memorizing it. Psalm 119, verse 9. I've said this to you guys a lot, speaking to young people. How can a young man, how can a young woman, David asked, keep his way pure? How can you walk in a pure way, pure to the Lord? You know what David says? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. And then in the next verse, this will be Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, I have stored up your word. So how did he guard his heart according to God's word? He says, I have stored up your word in my heart. This is Psalm 119, verse 11. So that I might not sin against you. This is so that I can believe you, so that I can obey you, so that I can trust you, God. The reality is, most of the times when you face temptation, when you face the opportunity to sin, you don't have a Bible open in front of you. Right? It's not open to the passage that you need right then and there. You need to have God's word in your heart so that you can say, I know what God's word says. And you don't just know it generally. You know it word for word. And you've thought about it. You understand it. You've prepared for this moment with God's word. You've stored it up in your heart. You've memorized it in your mind, so that you might not sin against him. Memorizing is hard, though. I don't know. Who here makes a regular practice of memorizing God's word? It might not be that many. Can I tell you guys? Every single person here needs to start. You need to open up God's word every day and study. I want every single person here to start memorizing God's word. And that might sound really, really hard. You want to hear some of the ways that I do it? Again, I'm a really bad memorizer, but you've probably heard me just start saying verses up here. It's because I've stored them up in my heart. I use music. I've used music a lot to memorize God's word. So there's a thing called Hide It. What's Altrogi's albums? Hide It in Your Heart. Hidden in Your Heart, or Hide in Your Heart by Mark Altrogue, or Altrogi, Altrogge. Great songs. He will just play it through 2 times, tell you the words, give you a 3rd time through with just music so you can repeat it back, and then a 4th time through to sing it. Even like the worst memorizer here, I bet if you listen to a song 5 times with your brain on, you'll have it memorized. So if you pick that up, it's on Apple Music, it's on Spotify. I think we have some CDs at the book table, unless we sold out. You can get those, and they are so, so good. So good. And so if you say, I'm going to memorize one of those a week, one verse a week, can you listen to a song 5-10 times in a week? Probably. And then if you open up the Bible and you look at it and you learn it in context, how much time do you think that would take you? Just maybe on the way to school, maybe in your room, maybe 10 minutes a day, 5-10 minutes a day. If you do one song a week, one verse a week, sixth graders, how many verses will you have memorized by the time you're done in student ministries? Let's do some math. All right, so if you do one a week for a whole year, how many is that? 52. So sixth grade, you'll have 52. By seventh grade, you'll have 104. Eighth grade, 156. How many will you have? 208. All right, keep going. You still have two more years left, right? Because you're sixth grade. We got 6 years of this, 260, and then you have one more year left. Is my math right? Are we getting over 300 verses in your time in student ministries? 7 years? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 7 years, we're going to get more than 350 verses. If you start today, think of that. Just one a week. 350 verses hidden in your heart that you've thought about, that you've memorized, that you understand. What does David say? How will a young man or woman keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against you. That is a lot of God's word in your heart. What if you keep that going? Every 10 years, that's 500 verses. By the time you're my age, that's over 1,000. Think about that. Before you die, you're going to have, if you do that consistently, by God's grace, if you live normal age, you're going to have a few thousand verses hidden in your heart. Do you know what God will use you for if you do that? The sins that he will guard you from, the good works that he will lead you to. And do you know what happens when you memorize verses? If you put them in your mind and then you start thinking about it, and that's what biblical meditation is. This is not the yoga, empty your mind kind of meditation. Meditation, what you do when you let God's word soak into your mind and you meditate on it, you're thinking deeply about it. You're saying, what does this say? How must this affect me? What does this teach me about God? What area of my life does this verse need to affect me in? Who can I bless with this verse? Who can I pray for because of what this verse says? How can I believe God better? How can I obey him more fully? How can I trust him? That will happen so well when you start memorizing scripture. You don't need to memorize the whole Bible in one day. You won't. Just do one verse at a time. And it's not just that verse. Read God's word every day. Listen to it constantly. Saturate your mind and your heart with God's word. Praying every time. Praying every time. Lubot, God, do a miracle. God, let your word change me from the inside, that I might not wander from your commandments, that I might glorify you, that I wouldn't turn from you. God, keep me close. God, let me persevere. And so if you, and I know this is many of you, are saying, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I'm just not sure if this is my faith or my parents. Do you know what you need to do? You need to get God's word into your heart so that you have an opportunity to believe, an opportunity to obey, an opportunity to trust, which is what believers do. It's not magic. It won't happen apart from God's word. A Bible sitting on your shelf doesn't accomplish these things. A Bible read with your heart not engaged doesn't accomplish these things. Sitting in student ministries, coming to church, and hearing the word preached without listening carefully, without obeying every chance you have, without believing God at every promise he makes, and ultimately without trusting, without turning to Jesus, doesn't accomplish anything. The same sun that melts the wax. Think about that. A wax candle left out in the sun gets really soft, right? What about clay? gets hardened. You want to say, God, make my heart soft. Make my heart like the soil that Jesus talks about. When God's word is sown, that's the seed in the parable, it sprouts up and bears fruit manyfold. The Son, if the seeds land in a nice, soft soil that believes God, that trusts Him, that's tender before Him, will bear fruit. But if you say, if you hear my voice, if you hear God's word and you harden it, your judgment will be just. God's word will be of no benefit to you. In fact, I want to go, this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. We've talked a lot about the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees memorized the entire first five books of the Bible, the entire Pentateuch. They had it memorized more than you will in your whole life, probably. Crazy, right? Every word. They knew it, and they not only knew God's word, they knew all their silly rules they made up about God's word. These guys surrounded themselves with God's word, and Jesus said, you search the scriptures. They knew, hey, where do I need to find answers? They search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's true. Eternal life is to be found in the scriptures, but Jesus pointed out their fundamental problem. Yet you refuse to come to me so that you may have life. Guys, you can read, you can hear God's word, you can read God's word, you can study God's word, you can memorize God's word, you can meditate on God's word. But unless you respond to what's in God's word with hearing and faith, it's worthless. So pray and then do. If you believed Moses, Jesus said, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words? The point is, believe every word in Scripture. And when God says, come to me, love me with your whole heart, love your neighbor as yourself, and all these other commands, do it. But the point is, we read God's word to know and to trust God. And that's point two. We have to read prayerfully with faith, and we have to look for God in his word. And then we have to read to be transformed by the Spirit through his word. Okay, so read. You have to read. You have to hear. You have to listen. Do it with faith. Ultimately to get God and then to be transformed. Do you know what happens when you see God as he is? This is what happens when Jesus comes back. Christians, God's word says you're God's children now. You're God's children now. If you believe in him, you're God's child now. But you still have this mixed condition in you. You still fall to sin. You're not a slave to sin anymore. If you haven't turned to God in repentance and faith, you're still a slave to sin. Remember, we heard it this morning. When you believe, you become Jesus' slave. You become his. But what we will be when we're in that eternal state, it's not yet here. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. Why? Because we'll see him as he is. We'll see Jesus when he comes back, or when we die and go to him. We'll see him, and like that, we'll be changed. And you know what? Right now, in God's word, we are changed when we see him. That we studied that last year in 2 Corinthians. You know what Paul prayed for the Colossians? He's saying, I can't wait to come to you. And so from the day that we heard of your faith, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So what did Paul pray? He prayed that they would be full of knowledge in all spiritual wisdom. And later he said all of the spiritual wisdom is to be found in Jesus, God's word incarnate. This is all there. But what for what purpose? Guys, if you read the Bible and you're filled with wisdom, you're filled with knowledge, you know everything in there, but you're not changed by it, mission's not accomplished. Paul didn't say merely, I pray that you'll be filled with all knowledge so that you know what God wants, but that you'd be filled with all knowledge of his will so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a lot of words, but the whole point is that the goal of your life, if God saved you, he saved you so that you would glorify him, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of him, bearing good fruit. The only way to do that is to know what the will of the Lord is and to know him. You can't skip God's word. You don't get to the life lived for him without exposing your heart and your mind to what he says. But you must not grow satisfied with just exposing your mind and your heart to God's word without also living for him. So you have to say, my goal when I read the Bible, when I want to know the Bible, is to know God, trust him, and then have God the Holy Spirit change my life. And so that's what it says on the bottom. That's a lot of words, so I wrote it down for you so that you can meditate on this and maybe put it in your Bible so that you remember what you're aiming at. Our goal in Bible study, and this is our last slide and then we're done. Our goal in Bible study is not to merely understand the Bible, but it's to understand the Bible rightly in order to see God in his glory revealed to us in the text, which is why we always ask what when we read the Bible. What does this say about God? And how must this change me? I'll say it every week so that we can be transformed by him. So I encourage you, if you're not already doing it, please go pick up those Bible study note sheets in the back. Put them in your Bible. Read the Bible. Listen to sermons with a pen in your hand, saying, what does this teach me about God? And how should this affect me? And then pray, God, do the miracle in me to accomplish your will in me.